We're live. Welcome, Fanatics, to Cyclone Fanatic TV, live here. I'm Adam Gray, with Rob, as always, for the last two shades of gray.
The last two, it seems like yesterday that we were just beginning.
It kind of was. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
Pretty recent.
Now, is it true that you're actually extremely excited about this last day because of the fact that you know that there will no longer be that image floating around?
I certainly hope it's not floating around anymore.
With you and my warm embrace? That might, of all the things I did here in my 4.5 years of Cyclone Fanatic, that might be the thing I'm most proud of.
Really?
Thinking about that and putting it together with the help of Drew. Drew helped me out with that. But, yeah, last Two Shades of Gray is brought to you, as always, by our good friends AgriGold Hybrid. AgriGold, they know corn.
Rob, they do.
For people that are just listening to this and not watching, first off, jump on CFTV Live, take a look at it. But we're looking good. We're looking good. You text me this morning and said, are we doing a normal podcast or is this CFTV Live? And I told you it's CFTV Live, and you said, crap, I got a shower now.
Yep, exactly. And then I figured I might as well take it all the way, not look like a bum like I usually do.
So you sent me, okay, if I'm going to shower and I'm going to wash behind the ears and you know, do my – you said monthly shower?
I didn't mention a time period. It generally is more than monthly, but I am kind of, you know, in my hibernation mode.
Sure.
So, at least a few times.
Do you save the rainwater and use that to wash your body?
When I live off the grid someday,
that's the goal.
I'll do that.
That's the dream. Well, anyway, yeah. So you said, hey, I'm going to wear a suit if you wear a suit. And I said, why not? So people that are looking, I'm sure you're looking and saying, these guys look good. And you know what? For that, we agree with you. We do look good. So I say let's talk about the big news here with Iowa State today. And that's, unfortunately, Darius McNeil asking to get out of his letter intent with Iowa State basketball.
Yeah. Obviously, our man Jared Stansbury has done great reporting on that. After writing a great piece about what McNeil could mean too. It's an odd situation. Obviously, some people have more inside info, but such a late time when you've been slowly piecing together the grad transfers. You get Hans, is it Braz, Albert's pronounced, out of Princeton, and you start to feel good, and then all of a sudden, that's kind of like an out of the blue bombshell. It seems like,
yeah, one that definitely did not see coming. It, you know, what a rough off season for Iowa State basketball. Yeah. You know, and it's already going to be kind of a little bit rough because you're losing Monte and Matt and Naz and Deontay, but you know, there's hope and there still is hope. I don't want to be a doom and gloom guy here, but Iowa State fans are starting to get excited again because, hey, we're going to get this JUCO number one recruit. Well, unfortunately, he went to UNLV and a couple of these other grad transfers and transfers, they chose other schools, but you're still sitting here and saying, okay, Steve, and they have a great freshman class coming in. Well, unfortunately, now it looks like Darius McNeil is going to, you know, be let out of his letter intent and he's going to go elsewhere. And he's one guy, I mean, I wasn't as excited for him as Wigington, but I watched his game, and I was most excited to see what he could become.
Sure.
Because that kid's an electric athlete, and I think he's one that if he works hard, he's got bounce that just the God-given talent you can't teach. And so I was really excited about him, and it's a little unfortunate that we'll never get to see him lace up in the Cardinal and Gold.
That's true. I mean, I guess you never say never. It's not final, but I mean, everything clearly points to that. What about Terrence Lewis? I mean, people haven't talked about him much, but he was eked into the top 100 per 247. I mean, a long guy, you know, fairly lean. You figure he's going to pack on 5-10 pounds first year. Is there a lot to like about him? Maybe take a more of a deep dive into his game. I think he was a 4-star.
Yeah.
247. So, I mean, that's...
I don't know if I want Jared to write a deep recap of him because so far he's 0-for-1. He writes these deeper, and they ask for the letters of intent.
True. I think
Do you think Jared's article had anything to do with it?
Not causation. It's correlation, not causation, I'd say.
You don't think that maybe Darius read that article and said, this is BS. I'm way better than what Jared's saying about me right now? You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Maybe someone should call and ask. But no, you're right about Terrence Lewis. I mean, he's one of those guys, too. He's at a position of great need for Iowa State. And you don't know how it's going to translate from high school to college, but he shot the ball really well. And Iowa State's going to be lacking three-point shooters next year. And he's got an opportunity to step in as a freshman, play, and hopefully be a guy that can step up and knock down. I mean, as a freshman, 35% threes would be great, I think. Mm-hmm. I think anyone would take it. So I'm excited about him. I'm still excited about Wigington and the direction of this program. But there's no question the last month has been a little bit of a, little bit of a step back, a little bit of a kick in the stones.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot more uncertainty, and mm-hmm. most people don't enjoy being in a state of uncertainty.
Yeah.
I mean, some people do, and kudos to them. But I mean, yeah, as a fan, the last thing you want to feel is uncertain. You want to feel like you have some concrete pieces. And as of now, there are some pieces that could be really, really good, but you don't know for sure. I mean, or do you even have a true indication that it's likely with some of the unproven parts?
No, I mean, right now it's hope. I mean, yep. you're just sitting here and you're hopeful and you're optimistic, and you should be. I mean, because there's no reason, we haven't seen any reason not to be hopeful and optimistic with Prohm and his staff so far. They've done a great job in 2 years. But, you know, it stings, and hopefully, I know Chris Williams has put it out on Cyclone Fanatic a couple times that I think they're still hopeful that they might be able to keep Darius here at Iowa State. I'm a little skeptical of that. There's not too many times that I've heard of a guy asking out his letter of intent that ends up sticking around. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Yep.
But I think they've said, too, that the AU coach is going to Cal. And I don't know what Steve and his staff have planned for that. But if I'm them and I'm releasing this kid out from his letter of intent, I'm putting a block on Cal. I absolutely am. I'm putting a block on other Big 12 schools as well. You can go anywhere else. And I'm one of those guys too. I think you let these kids kind of just go and they can go wherever they want. But to me, that's where you're not hurting the kid. You're making sure that the adult doing something that might be wrong doesn't get rewarded for it. Mm. If that makes sense to you. Do you agree with that? You're nodding your head, but I don't think you're agreeing with me, Rob.
I mean, to some degree. Now, I thought there was a bit of a difference when you've got someone who's transferred that actually is signed versus committed.
Well, he signed.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, if he wasn't signed, he could go wherever
exactly.
he wanted.
He could have just been out of his commitment. I mean, yeah, I think generally teams do that. I think, and I wouldn't expect Iowa State to be this way. That wouldn't appear vindictive. It would appear, hey, I don't want this to immediately benefit somebody who's right there who would be our adversary, you know, a couple times a year at least.
Yeah, for the Big 12 purposes.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then for the Cal purposes, hey, we've recruited this kid. We built a relationship with him for 2 years, signed him. We've had money invested into him by going down and recruiting him and everything. And then just because you hire his AU coach, you get to just swoop in and take him after he signed a letter of intent. I'm sorry. I can't let him go there.
Yeah.
Now, if he wants to really, truly go there, I mean, he could probably go JUCO 1 year and turn around and go to Cal mm-hmm. the next year, but not direct path. I don't know what Steve's going to do on that. It'll be interesting to see. This is a first for him at Iowa State that he's had to deal with it. But, yeah, I mean, that's how I would do it. Once again, it comes back to how horrible recruiting truly is, right? I mean, the highs are the ultimate high. The Lindell Wigginton's of the world. You're getting a five-star. You put in all this work. You go to Oak Hill and you get a kid from Oak Hill. Mm-hmm. That's the high. The low is Justin.
Yeah.
Where you think you're going to get him, you lose him to UNLV.
Yeah.
Or Darius McNeil, where you actually have the kid signed, and he ends up, you know, because of some small reason, leaving and going elsewhere. So, you know, but that's why the coaches get paid a lot of money to deal with stuff like this. But it's also one of the reasons why you can understand why Fred Hoiberg hated recruiting as much as he did.
For sure. And, I mean, there's all kinds of, machinations, maneuvering that can occur. You know, I mean, you could say, I'm not going to release you, and then he has to sit out a year wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I generally don't see that happening much.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to get that reputation because it appears a certain way. But at the same time, there's a lot of, as you said, relationships that have been built. And when you back out of that, I mean, for reasons that have not been put out there, I guess everything's on the board in terms of how it all plays out.
See, I don't think it hurts everyone made a huge deal when Bo Ryan tried to block Utah back then. Has it hurt Wisconsin since then? I mean, they went to the national championship game, almost won the title. They, once again, this year had a nice little run again. I don't think it matters. I think really what it does, too, is it shows people that, hey, we're not going to let you walk all over us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're Iowa State, and you might think, oh, well, we'll just take a guy from Iowa State because they're Iowa State, and they'll be nice about it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
If you do something that we don't think is right, we're not going to throw a huge fit in the press and everything, but we'll simply say, hey, kid, we will let you out of your letter of intent, just not to these schools. And like I said, we're talking about something we have no idea what's going on with Steve Prohm and his staff.
Yep.
We don't know. I mean, for all we know and hope, he's still out there trying to salvage this relationship and bring Darius back in, but that's just how I would play it out.
No, I don't disagree at all.
Yeah. Let's talk about something a little more positive. Let's switch over to football. and talk about the commitment of Trevor Downing, offensive guard out of Creston,
yep,
who Iowa State got over Iowa, Minnesota, a couple schools that, well, I mean, Iowa especially.
Kansas State was in there.
Kansas State, yeah. I said this last week before he committed. We had a pretty good idea, Jared and I did, that he was going to be committing that day. This is the biggest pickup in the Matt Campbell era. Not from a rating standpoint, not from a who they beat out. Well, yes, to who they beat out. But just because here in the state of Iowa, when Iowa goes after the top offensive lineman and Iowa State's going after him, my entire life, those guys go to Iowa, mm-hmm, over and over and over again. And now you got Campbell here, and it's really his going into his second season. He all of a sudden now is maybe starting to chip away. He got the top guy. Where does this go from here? I mean, if he gets a Downing and then it doesn't translate to anybody else that Iowa's going after in the state of Iowa, then maybe, you know, we look back in 2 years and say that wasn't the biggest commitment. But right now I think it is, and I think it's going to start maybe a little bit of a chain reaction here in the state.
Domino effect.
Yeah, and I know Iowa State, listen, they're not going to get everybody, especially certain guys on the eastern part of the state. You know, sure. I think Iowa got a guy from Solon. I mean, mm-hmm, Iowa State's going to struggle to get kids from Solon. They're just not going to. But like I said, those kids before were so between Iowa, Iowa State, and once Iowa offered them, you just knew they were going to Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I think those days are numbered where they might still go there, but it's not a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I concur on that. And a lot of people like this kid. And I mean, Iowa State was first offer, I believe, 6'5", pushing. He's getting close to 300 already.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk – I think Jared had mentioned either in a podcast or in his story that he's the I'm totally blanking. But he had – but, I mean, that he's basically – I think the second highest O-line recruit to Sean Foster that Campbell's put out there. So what's interesting, though, is that week was good – when you get C.J. Bollard, the wide receiver, who's actually a higher-rated overall player.
Yep.
And, you know, you get other things. You know, Rial Mitchell's been committed. I mean, you've got momentum again there. When a few weeks ago we were talking about, okay, you know, how many commitments do they have?
Who are we going to get? Yeah.
You know, they've still got, you know, some spots to fill. But clearly we are seeing a bit of that. You know, the ball is rolling down the hill instead of up it.
Yeah. In fairness, C.J. Bollard looks like a really nice commitment. I'm excited about him. But a wide receiver is never going to get me as excited as a good, sure, quality offensive lineman, especially we've seen it now for Iowa State. I think Iowa State's had some nice receivers here for about a good 5-6 year period, and they've still struggled offensively because their offensive line has not been able to provide them a running game or their quarterbacks enough time to get the ball to them downfield. And so for Iowa State to really take off, it's going to start on the offensive line. And Campbell, I think, recognized that more than anybody, being an offensive line guy himself. Mm-hmm. So this is a nice starting point. It would be really nice, you know, 3-4 years down the road, if Iowa State isn't having to go out there and get the Brian Bobeks and the David Dawsons of the world because they've already built such nice depth that, you know, they got a good top 10 guys that they can, yep, rely on, and they've been in the program for 4 or 5 years and they're ready to go. That's the goal. That's something Iowa State hasn't had in a very, very, very long time. And once they get back to that, I think you'll see Iowa State start getting back to bowl games in a get to bowl games in a consistent manner.
Yeah, and I mean, they did, to be fair. I mean, they've had two darn good, you know, but they've had running games that have been solid at times, you know, based on Mike Warren's freshman season.
Yep.
And obviously David Montgomery breaking through as you know, Warren, you know, took, I don't know what you want to call it, sort of took a little bit of a step back, but was kind of beaten out by Montgomery. And all accounts, Warren is back feeling great. Just think about that 1-2 punch in the backfield. I mean,
it's a great 1-2 punch.
You know, you don't like missing Kane, but there are others in the mix, and you know Park can run a little bit, and so many receivers, you know, from Alan Lazard to Eaton, the transfer, who obviously is going to be coming off injury.
Yeah.
But expects to be all good for fall camp, you know, and, you know, Hakeem Butler and Trevor Ryan and Deshaunte Jones was such an electric guy in many aspects. I mean,
they're loaded with options.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. But once again,
got to protect them.
I got to protect them. And, yep, I mean, that's what we saw last year. We've seen it a lot for the last – essentially since KO went to the NFL. 3rd and 1, Iowa State needs that 1 yard to win a football game. Mm-hmm. They haven't been getting it. And then, yep, they turn around, the other team goes down the field, scores, and Iowa State loses the game. I mean, if you go back and look the last 5 years, there's a lot of games where if Iowa State would have got one more first down, they probably would have won. And it starts with the big boys up front. So they get those guys, and I think – everything else is kind of in place for Iowa State.
Yep.
To get over the hump. Now, we're not talking 9-10 wins. Yep. We get to 6. Rob, we're going to be tickled pink with 6 wins this year, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is tickled pink okay to say?
Why not? Why not? You're starting to question everything now.
I know.
Twitter brings out some
questioning
of the phrasing.
They make me question myself a little bit. But, you know, and then you mentioned the running backs, too. You get the running backs there. You can keep them fresh. It's unfortunate what happened to Kenny and his injury, but I think that might be something 3 years down the road we look at it as a blessing. Mm-hmm. You never want a young man to get injured, but what it's done, it's kind of helped balance the classes now. You got a Warren Jr., Montgomery sophomore, and then redshirt freshman will be Kenny. Unless he comes back this year, I'll be shocked if he does.
Yeah.
You have a nice balance at that running back position, which before was kind of jammed up a little bit. So, I like where Iowa State's at. I like what the coaching staff's done, and they've really done it quickly because when they got here, Rob, the cupboard wasn't just bare. Mm-hmm. There was dust in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not pretty at all. And in 2 quick, short years, it's not where they want it to be, but it's a heck of a lot better than where it was. There's no question about that.
Yeah. The depth is definitely starting to show up, and not quite so much on the offensive line yet.
No.
But you still, it is very much, more so than last season, which they ended up being at times pretty darn serviceable with a group that was the least experienced overall given Campo's injury, and I think among Power 5 schools. And you know, they had some really nice games, the Tech game, where they could dominate and they could move it down. You know, you saw some guys develop and give things that they had never shown before. And that's what they're going to have to keep seeing from these guys. And I think they're well on their way. But you look at that starting lineup, so the caveat always is if guys can stay at least reasonably healthy, and that's a pretty good front unit. I mean, if Dawson is, a solid player and all that. So, it's, again, building up, and I'm starting to see more depth at D-line, starting to really see depth in the secondary and the receiver and at running back.
Yep.
And a little bit of quarterback when you think about Zeb Nolan coming off his injury and all the recruits, Moore and all that. So it's the last piece, and sometimes it's a debatable whether offensive line or defensive line is the hardest one to build quality depth. I think at Iowa State, defensive line should probably be the hardest one because – you can sell that, smash mouth. You're gonna play fast, but you're still gonna get in that mode sometimes. You're just gonna ram it down people's throats, and they were obviously successful doing that with Troy Davis sometimes. And after that, but those were teams that didn't win with Troy Davis, yet they were able to, they had enough good linemen to really punish teams, and that's what I think what they're gonna build.
Well, I think it's easier too, especially here in the state and in the surrounding. What Campbell said, you draw like a 300-mile radius. I forget how many miles he said around Des Moines or Ames. And that's what they're going. You can. It's easier to build the offensive line locally than it is the defensive line.
Sure.
You get a lot more of those big farm boys, 6'5", 290, that can come in, and you can build that way. Defensive line's a little bit different. You need guys that are a little more quick twitch.
Yep.
I guess they say, that's not only for Iowa State. That's anywhere. Every team in the country, the hardest position for them to recruit is on the defensive line.
Yep.
So we're talking a lot about the Iowa State and the kind of their upside. There was an article on SB Nation, last week?
Yeah, last week or late the week before, somewhere in that mix.
And who wrote the article?
Their analytics guru, I think it's Bill Conley.
Okay,
I believe is his name. I've got it right here.
So I should
know it because he's darn good at what he does.
Break down this article. He basically said Iowa State's got a lot of upside, as much upside as they've had since Seneca Wallace, and he's got them going 6-6.
Yeah, advanced stats and everything. He's got his S&P ratings and all that throughout the long and very detailed and thoughtful piece. But basically, is saying that the pieces appear to be there for. Predicting a 6-6 season.
Yep.
Let's not jump up and down about 6-6 seasons, but it's been a while.
I would jump up and down.
Take that step.
I would jump up
and down. Do it, particularly without that guaranteed. That guaranteed win, the bought win that you want.
I want 4. I don't want a guaranteed. Okay. I want 4 guaranteed or 3. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting we've gone to 9 Big 12 games.
Gotcha. But he points out the consistency when Iowa State is okay.
Yeah.
They're kind of in that 7-5 to 6-6, 5-7 mode, and then the last 3 years, 3 wins, 3 wins, 2 wins, 3 wins, whatever.
Oh man, that's brutal.
And you can look at in a lot of ways, the last 2 seasons were pretty similar. because there were some close games they lost, but there were different kinds of ways. Yeah, they would let leads go in those seasons. But I think in the two seasons ago, in Coach Rhodes' last season, you saw it. Even though they should have had the winning case, and you know, we've talked about that for, we don't have to go into detail on it, they seemed to be going on the downslope as things started to go away. But they seemed to be coming up, at least in terms of how they acted on the field, in terms of some of the performances, in terms of some, not only individuals, but just unit, whether it be a quarter
are you
of
talking,
game.
You're talking about Paul Rhodes' last year at Iowa State?
I'm talking about his, in comparison to Campbell's first.
Okay.
I think they were coming on to a degree late
Absolutely.
Last season.
There's no question
about
it.
Where they were not the season before, even though there were a lot of similarities, including the same record.
The comparison to me is glaring. I mean, it's very similar to Greg McDermott's last year at Iowa State, mm-hmm. and then Fred Hoiberg's, where Fred Hoiberg's, they only won, 15, 16 games the first year.
Fade because you don't have any depth, so you play pretty well, but can't pull out the win.
But it was just a completely different look from what Greg's teams were at Iowa State, and it left you the next season with a lot of hope. And obviously, I mean, they had Royce White coming in the next year, too. We don't have a Royce White coming in for football unless Matt Eaton becomes Royce White.
Yeah.
But, no, but I mean, I think that's fair, and I think that's what gives Iowa State a lot of excitement for this next year in 6-6. And, you know, I think this Bill guy's been listening to our podcast a lot because I think he mentioned, too, that this is going to be Iowa State's best offense of all time, which I've been very vocal about for months. So
you have.
Bill, just, you know, source me into that. I mean, just ask and I'll, you know.
You should see the
analytics,
the mathematics and the analytics.
Those go way over my head.
As we know from Size House of Trivia.
Yeah, no, you guys didn't let me answer those questions.
Oh, I didn't know you had all the answers.
Well, no, not all. I had two of them you guys missed.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, talks about something we've talked about, too. If Mike Warren of 2015 shows up and you have David Montgomery progressing as we expect, I mean, really talks about how good the offense can be. And even despite the you know, some of his rankings, they were 48th in one aspect, which is, you know, solid. A lot higher than it's been, you know, since, as he mentioned, I think really since Seneca's time.
Yeah. So who do you think is the better running back, David Montgomery or Mike Warren?
That's a really tough question.
I know.
I mean, if I compare Warren of 2015 to Montgomery of 2016, I say Warren.
Yeah.
But I also understand that Montgomery did some of that stuff as a true freshman. Different setup, different line. I think Montgomery has shown a better ability to hang on to the ball and occasionally be a pass catcher out of the backfield, even though Warren can do it. So I'd maybe give him a slight edge. But, I mean, we've seen how Mike Warren is you know, everything we've heard, at least, and from him as well, how he's responded to the adversity that was last season, a little bit, you know, questioning whether he was always, you know, going all out at certain points, you know, flat out saying, coaches saying that Montgomery had beaten him out for the spot, and that's what they want, that kind of competition. Well, they say he's come back better than ever.
Yeah.
So we're seeing that out of him. I think it can be an extremely dynamic backfield with those guys, but I would say, based on what I've seen from Montgomery and pass catching ability and a little bit of the power, mm-hmm. maybe the Warren has, and he hasn't had the phone, but he also hasn't had the multitude of carries. I mean, if you take the overall amount of carries, but when you fall into that fumbleitis category, that's hard to crawl out of. I hope he does this season, but I would give Montgomery a slight edge, but I think Warren it has equal, if not maybe better upside because of just the way he accelerates once he gets past that guy where he might have that 40, 50, 60 yard or house type of run.
Yeah. So I agree with pretty much everything you just said there. I try really hard not to live in the right now. I think you see that in everything with sports. Everything now is the best. And whatever is most recent is better than what happened, you know, in the past. So, so if you just kind of remove yourself and you look at each individual season, like you said, Mike Warren's redshirt freshman year was better than Montgomery's true freshman year. Mm-hmm. Not a fair comparison, but I mean, that's what we have to go off of. Last year, Montgomery's clearly better. I think Mike Warren's got more God-given talent, like you said, when he is able to hit that second gear, mm-hmm. that kid can smoke. He can fly. But the fumbles are an issue. And let's be honest, it's part of being a running back. And not only the fumbles aspect of it, but the fumbles and then getting up after every fumble and acting like you're injured. Like, you're never going to play football again because you just got hurt so bad. That's what always bothers me.
Well,
me,
you might have legitimately been
No.
Okay. It's good to see you.
I mean, that to me is just kind of a – that's more of a mentality issue, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Montgomery's got a little bit more of the it factor, and he's got the I think he's going to be end up proving to be a better receiver too. But when it comes down to it, they both provide something unique and dynamic, and they both they're both excellent running backs and as good of a 1-2 punch as we've had at Iowa State since Troy and Darren Davis, would you say? I mean, I'm not talking about just one. I'm talking 1-2 guys.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're as good as Troy and Darren.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that
in terms
all.
Of what they've shown too,
themselves
to be capable of. Because we've had guys that you look at him and you say, wow, that's a good 1-2 punch. And one of those guys is Devondrick Neely.
Yeah.
Just because you've seen him make some explosive
because
plays.
Because
we saw how that.
Because he was a 4-star.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
So.
Or J.J. Bass. He was great for a game.
Yeah.
You know. But no, I'm excited about those two running backs. And I really like this this Bill guy now because he predicted Iowa State not only to go 6-6 but to beat the Hawkeyes.
Yeah,
and that's really important.
That's saying something. Also, he did bring up the defense, which of course did struggle mightily at times. He said the defense was really good at preventing big plays, and that was something that was markedly improved last season. And in his article, he says, "Okay, that's the good that Iowa State's defense had last year. There were some individuals and moments and this and that, but they really struggled against the run at times.
Uh-huh.
And when they got, you know, when other teams got going downhill on them, there were some times where they were just, you know, that same old looking out of position kind of thing.
Yep.
But I still think you've got a lot coming back there, particularly in the secondary and, you know, kind of a rebuilt line, but the JUCO guys, your Limas, Tongamoa, I was going to try to say his full name, but
Camilo.
I mispronounce it. Yeah, Camilo. And you know what can Leo do?
Yeah.
You know, so, and you've got guys who you know, Vernell Trent, if he stays healthy. You know, some guys who have started to show some things.
There are two key questions for me in the defense, and if both of those play well, Iowa State's defense will be much better, and it'll be not a great, but a solid defense. One is how fast the JUCO guys can come in and ready to play. Roy Lima's been here for a semester already. That helps a ton. You look at him at the sidelines in the spring game, that's a big boy.
Yeah.
That's a big boy. And everything I hear up there is he's the real deal. If the defensive line can get a push and just hold on to the offensive line and free up the linebackers, it's going to be much better. And then the second one is how can Joel Lanning be a legitimate Big 12 linebacker? If Joel Lanning can be a legitimate Big 12 linebacker, it makes Iowa State's defense look completely different than what it looked last year.
Because his understanding of the game, too, being from the other side, you know, you throw that in, that's, you know, a reason why you want him at a mic. And we know what his physical prowess is like. Coach Campbell has said repeatedly he's one of the best athletes on the team. That's why you want him out there. You're right. I mean, he's sort of the touchstone for the whole – because we know what we're going to get out of most of the guys in the secondary. And that's pretty good, at least. I mean, if not, the potential to be good to very good in the secondary. And, again, the questions up front. If they can be anything like that line – in 2012, the last bowl year, granted you had a Jake McDonough on that line. Well, I think Cleon Lang, some other guys that really
I mean, people forget McDonough was a stud.
Yeah,
and finally when he got healthy and back to what he because he had those health issues early on.
He was great then.
He was a stud, and gosh, that's a big boy too.
Whew. Indeed, creative one as well. But I mean, maybe that's too. But you have some guys that physically look like they could have that kind of imposing stature. And we've had those, you know, it seems like it's been that one guy or two guys, you know, oh, it was going to be David Irving. Oh, what can Rodney Coe do? Now we got DeMond Tucker and, here's this Justin Thomas.
It was three guys that looked tiny and one big guy on our defense. On the defensive line.
Yep.
And now if you roll out there with Camilo, Ray Lima, Matt Leo.
Trent's a big, pretty big
Vernell Trent Johnson, who played last year, is a good size. I mean,
Bailey,
he's not very tall.
Bailey's strength and speed for him.
Yeah. And then you bring in Uwerziki, who's 6'7", 270 off the end.
Yeah.
I mean, they might not – I don't know how quick they're going to be. I don't know how great they're going to be at their hands. But at least it's going to be more difficult for the offensive line when they do get their hands on them to move them.
Yeah.
It's harder to move 280, 290 for, 300 than it is some of the guys that we've had there in the past. And
I'm not,
some of the guys for Iowa State, they did a good job. Willie Scott, but he was really small.
Yep.
Really small. All right. Anything else we want to touch on there?
Not really. Sometimes it would be interesting to think about how they get to those six wins because it could be really front loaded out of the gate. And then you think about 3 out of 4 on the road to end it. And the last one at Kansas State. Imagine if you're trying to exercise that demon or banish those ghosts with a chance to be bowl eligible sitting on the other end. Or maybe you've already done it and you have a chance to actually improve that bowl and be to a better bowl than
go to the Holiday Bowl. Go somewhere like that. Yeah, it'd be great. Can you imagine if Iowa State was 5-6 going to Kansas State?
Oof.
We'd set up a cyclone for that. I mean, I won't be, but I'd go. Yeah. I'd go on the trip.
Yep.
And I won't have to worry about anything going forward. I could just sit back there, have my cocktails, relax. Gosh, it'd be nice to be on the other side of that.
End up asleep in the aisle.
Asleep or passed out.
I was trying to be kind.
Cyclone fans, before I forget, I want to let everyone know that Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus Live is coming to you. Direct from sellout shows across the globe, the world's greatest action sports show comes to Ames for the first time ever. Featuring 30 of the world's best athletes in freestyle, motocross, and BMX, plus insane contraptions launched from 40-foot-high Nitro Giganta ramp. 40-foot high, Rob.
If the Nitro Giganta, what is it?
Nitro Gigantic ramp.
Can we just call it Giganta? Giganta?
I'm going to call it No Way.
A booming voice.
I'm going to call it No Way in Hell would I ever do that. That's what I'm calling it.
Oh, okay.
But you know
what,
though?
Just trying to add some excitement.
No, this is
already exciting enough, though.
It is exciting. It's coming to Jack Tri Stadium Saturday, June 3rd. So it's coming up here. I didn't know about this. And when this came through and Chris said, hey, this is coming, read this out here on the podcast, I got kind of excited because to me, this is a perfect thing to take my boys to.
Oh, yeah.
My boys would love this. And I would, too. And it gives me kind of an excuse. Hey, Julie, I got to go take the boys to the show here, you know?
My son might like it, too.
I mean,
we could make it a Two Shades of Gray experience.
We could. They've never done anything like this in Jack Tri Stadium before, have they?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
You know, good for them to start, you know, doing more in that. Now, my question is, what is this going to do to the field? You know?
They'll take care of, you know, you've got some of the greatest groundskeepers, you know, in the country. They won't let that thing get marred by an incredible, exciting show, which can happen. I mean, you're moving a lot of stuff around, but they'll take great care to make sure it's as beautiful as always.
The field department there, for the week or so leading up to the show, while Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus is tearing up the field there, and you have nothing to do, how about you come down to the Gray household? I got new sod that was laid about a year ago. It's not looking very good. Needs a little TLC.
Mm.
Needs some of those ag folks up there at Iowa State to come down and help me out a little bit.
Inject a little knowledge and perhaps... Some chemistry,
chemicals that would
compost.
You know, would help. You know, any kind of advice, and I'd greatly appreciate it. I know you guys are out there listening right now, so just reach out to me.
Yeah, somebody will give you.
You guys
help.
Are going to have a week leading up to June 3rd, where you're probably having a little bit of a break there on Jack Trice.
They'll probably tell you to take a soil test.
Yeah,
first off, so you know where it's at.
Okay,
and
that's where your knowledge lies right there.
That's where it starts.
I got
we can talk off air.
So yeah, Cyclone fans, check that out. Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus Live is coming June 3rd, Jack Tri Stadium. That sounds like a heck of a good time.
Oh, I mean, he was one of the greatest, I mean, of all time on a bike.
Yes.
Any bike. You know, took a nice run in NASCAR too.
He's one that I know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably say, you know, 30 other people that are doing what he's doing that are famous, and I wouldn't know the name, but I know Travis Pastrana. Yeah, I know Travis Pastrana.
Yeah, for sure.
So, anything else you want to talk about here? You got a list of some things you want to hit on.
Let's head towards a wrap up a little bit, which just it's really an emotional day for me.
Oh, you know, come on, buddy.
Two Shades of Gray outside of that ridiculous graphic is going off into you know, the world of the former podcast, but nonetheless, I we've had a lot of great moments here. You've had a lot of great moments. I'm sure we've had some pretty silly moments too.
Yep,
maybe not so great moments, but I wondered if you would reflect on a few of your favorite moments. Yeah, because you, as you know, probably less so than you think, but you are beloved.
Oh, I appreciate
by everyone in the Fanatic community.
I appreciate that. That means a lot. Favorite moment? Are you talking just Cyclone Fanatic in general? Or are you talking about here on this podcast?
I think Cyclone Fanatic in general, because you've spearheaded many of these successful trips, and I mean, put together a lot of things that,
you know,
people aren't really aware of. You know what it takes, and I'm sure there's some stress involved during some of those situations.
It was stressful for Chris, and that's why he got out of it after the bowl game. I mean, I would say the bowl trips, the bowl trip to Memphis was one of my more memorable trips. And that was, you know, pretty, I'd only been a Cyclone fanatic for maybe 4 or 5 months before that trip happened. Mm. We had issues on the ride back where one of the buses was leaking oil back to the bus behind it. I think I joke, we took 4 buses down, we brought back 7 buses because we had to switch the buses 3 times. Wow. So that was a little bit stressful because, you know, you're dealing with 200 plus people in 2 different hotels and everything. But that was, the good thing is Iowa State fans are as nice as they come, you know. Yep. And even though we had these headaches and they could have sat there and they could have been, you know, complaining about all the issues that were taking place, they weren't. They were understanding. They knew that some things were out of our control. And, you know, I was always grateful of that because people could have been rude and I would have understood if they were. Sure. Because, you know, no one likes to be stuck on the side of a road.
And then the result of the game. And,
and the result of the game. And
great, there was a great mood going over
down
Memphis, right? And then
coming back, it was just, you know, it rained too on New Year's Eve that night. But that was one of my favorites. And it's kind of funny you asked this question because yesterday I stopped at a graduation party of a kid who graduated from DCG. And when he was, I don't know, it was 4 years ago, we took a bus trip down to Kansas State. And him and his mom, you know, they, you know, I reached out to them and I gave them a free trip to the Kansas State game. And I went up to Sy's locker room and I got a jersey for him. Jeremiah George, number 52. And I put I put his last name on the back of it. And I presented it to him on the bus. And I think it was actually his birthday that day. So it was kind of a nice little deal. Didn't think much of it, right? I just thought, oh, this is cool. I'll give it to this kid.
Yep.
Well, yesterday I go to his graduation party, and I think maybe only seen him one time since then. And I go there and I show up, and you know how at graduation parties they have the boards with all the pictures on
it? Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
Well, right there's a picture of me and Tron with him at the bus trip, and right below it is the jersey I got him 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And his mom told me, she's like, Adam, he's had it hanging up ever since. And, you know, it just kind of hit me that a lot of times, a lot of the stuff that we do here, and I, you know, I tell this to you and Chris and Jared, you can make an impact on people without really feeling like you are making an impact. You know, just the small stuff that you guys do every day where you guys are providing content and bringing knowledge about their favorite team. I mean, all the people that are on Fanatic are fanatics. They love Iowa State. They love them so much. And they don't get the access that you guys do, but you guys do such a great job of providing it to them. And then at the same time, kind of letting them into your lives. And I think it makes a bigger impact on these people than you think it does. And I think that's what's been so special for me and what's so difficult about leaving. It's just all the wonderful people I've met through this. And, you know, I'm not going away. Like, I'll still see you guys up in Ames. I'll still see people up in Ames. I'll still see you guys all the time. You guys try to get rid of me in the Slack, but I'm going to find a way to get back in there and harass you guys on that. But, no, I mean, it's been a great, great ride, and I've enjoyed every second of it. And, at the same time, I'm excited about my new opportunity.
Yes. Well, you should be. So. It's very poignant. You're right. You don't have an idea. That's why it's important when a note to young journalists, once you, maybe someday you'll fall into a rut where it feels like you're doing the same story over and over again, or you've done this 1,000 times. Remind yourself that there's that, maybe that one person, or maybe it's a person you're writing about, that it means a lot to them to have the story come across with as much, I guess, to be as well written mm-hmm. and as insightful as possible. Now, is every story for everybody that way? Myself included? Absolutely not.
No.
But when you can do that, and when you try to take extra care to do that, A, that's great for the fans. B, that's great for the subject or the team that you're writing about to convey things accurately, but add some insight and add some emotion, add some background, you know, detail to it.
Yep.
So, you know, like you said, you would have never known that you know, you took the extra time to do something for him, and it obviously made a big impact. He enjoyed it so much that it's part of his display there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, though, he is going to the University of Iowa, so I didn't do a good enough in job, you know, putting him on there. But he's an Iowa State fan. He still had his Iowa State wristband on. You know, certain major he's going to.
Certain majors, you know, if you want to be a doctor and an attorney.
He's listening right now. Just know that while I'm proud of you, I'm still a little ticked. I'm a little peeved, but no, I mean, all my favorite memories they come back to, you know, kickoff parties that we do before the season started, picking up Rhodes and his staff, Campbell and his staff, Hoiberg, Prohm, bringing them down to the fans. And we did those for free. To me, those were just about bringing the Iowa State community together, giving them access to coaches that they wouldn't normally do, get the chance to. Those were always kind of special to me. And then obviously seeing this thing grow too. I mean, when I came on board, it was just Chris and I, right?
Yeah.
And since then, I mean, you've come on board, Jared's come on board. We've had, what, 2-3 interns come through at the time. Bloom writes from time to time. It'd be nice if he wrote a little bit more often, not just when Iowa State was winning.
Holland's given us some.
Holland's done it. Kirk, you can't forget Kirk. Phenomenal, talented writer, analytics. I give Kirk a lot of crap, but I love what he does. Don't tell him I said that. But yeah, I mean, just seeing the growth. I mean, I think it was 15,000 registered users when I showed up. I leave here today, there's 22,000 registered users on Cyclone Fanatic. The page views, everything's growing. And it really comes back down to Chris Williams and the hard work that he puts into it. And, you know, I've been blessed to be a part of it. So
you always will be.
I know.
You always will be.
Well, you know, you say that, but I think Chris is a little peeved at me too. So he's trying to get me out of here as quick as possible.
Well, you know, time heals all wounds.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. It's been fun, bud. Anything else we need to talk about?
I don't know. I think it's a good time to close. We should probably congratulate the Iowa State men's golf team.
How about that, man?
That last round, almost everyone shot their best round, and then it's Nick
Vokey?
Vokey. Is it Vokey or Voke?
I don't know.
I should have checked with the Iowa State.
Well, they have like a title is Vokey's, right? Or is it like a wedge?
Yeah.
They named his last name
He's
after
a Kiwi
that.
From New Zealand. Shot a 61 there in Austin. I think it was course record. I think it beat every individual by 5 strokes at the regional.
That's unbelievable.
Iowa State, one of 30 teams in the NCAA championships. Second time in 4 years. So for a northern school, and I know golf is a little bit of it doesn't correlate to baseball, you know, the same dynamic. But nonetheless, you know, for an Iowa State to be there twice in 4 years, and that would be for Voke and his senior teammates.
Yeah.
Their second time in 4 years. That's pretty special.
Incredible accomplishment. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy it. I know a lot of people don't get out and attend, you know, necessarily because that's, you know, they're playing out of state a lot of times, but that's phenomenal. And to pull it out in the end, you know, to dig deep and basically everybody shot their best round of the, I believe it's a 3-day event perhaps. You know, great kudos to all of them.
Yeah. No, I, about a decade ago, I shot a 61, Rob. And then I played
miniature,
and then I started playing the back nine.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
But, you know, it was really a memorable round for me as well, but I can't even imagine shooting a 61, let alone in a, you know, it's a pressure situation. I'm sure the course is playing extremely difficult because it is the regionals. And for that kid to go out and do that, unbelievable. So, kudos to them and good luck, as they move forward. So you get out and play much, Rob?
When I do, I'm horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But then
I like to play more. I'm a lefty, but I learned to play righty because my dad had clubs. So I got to be okay when I played with a bunch of friends in high school who were really good. I was okay.
Yeah.
Then I hardly ever played, and I'm just terrible now. I tried to play left-handed, and I approach it like it's a slow-pitch softball swing, you know, and I had some power, and it's like I'm jacking it up, and I'm just going that way.
Slow it down.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that, though, because I'm left-handed, and for years I did not understand why, and I was little. Why my brothers could all hit my dad's golf clubs and I couldn't. Well, they're right-handed and they're swinging the clubs with the right-handed and I'd switch over as left-handed. And so I'd be hitting the back of the club.
Oh, nice.
And I'd always be like, gosh, then my brother, you know, I'm like 6 years old, right? I'm like, my brothers are hitting the ball in the air. I can't get the ball off the ground. What's going on here? And now I've got the right clubs and I still can't get it off the ground. It's weird, but,
great game though.
It is a great game. I, you know, if I could, I'd play it every day. But then I'd be single. I would not be married and, probably be broke cause it's also a very expensive
game.
That's
true.
But I love golf. It's, by far my most enjoyable game. If I could do anything, I'd play golf.
Oh, good for you.
So. Yeah.
Great to have you.
Hey,
shake
thanks, buddy.
Again.
No, it's been a pleasure. It's
we'll
been a
see
pleasure.
You around plenty of times.
Enjoy reading all your stuff. You do a great job at Cyclone Fanatic. Everyone, when Rob puts up a story, especially those Where Are They Nows, because I know you put a lot of work into them, just, you know, jump on, you know, Cyclone Fanatic, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Just tell Rob he's doing a great job. Let him know. Let all the guys know because they really do work hard to put this stuff out there for everybody. And they deserve all the credit and attention that could be provided to them. So
I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate the constructive criticism too, because you know we all make mistakes and a detail here, a detail there.
Now let me say this for you: constructive criticism, just keep it to yourself, okay?
No, it's good. Constructive criticism is good for us.
That's good.
It's the other kind.
Yep. Yeah. Well, thanks again to AgriGold for hosting all these CFTV Lives. It's not going anywhere. Jeff Woody will be on here this football season again. I know people loved it hearing Woody get up and break down the games. Mm-hmm. He'll be doing that going forward again. We're going to hopefully make it even better with Huddle. He'll be able to use their – you know, their format, I guess you could say,
sure,
on here. So it's going to be great. Be looking out for that. And thanks to everyone watching. Have a good day.
Thanks.